Good morning, everyone. I cannot hear your voice. Good morning. I welcome all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and also those who are joining us this morning in this worship service from afar. And as you know, there are a lot of people who are listening to this, you know, worship service through radio, TV, and even, you know, YouTube. So we welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God's blessings are with you too. And also, as you know, we are continually doing our Lenten season study together every Wednesday night. So if you cannot spare your time for study, you are more than welcome to join the fellowship time starting at 5 o'clock. And on the first Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, we had around 60 people join the fellowship time. Please, they serve wonderful meal. Please do not miss this time of fellowship during this Lenten season. And also, we have a special announcement from Tyler about community choir.
Hello again, everybody. Just a reminder that we have a community choir happening for one of the Good Friday noontime services that we have. There are two rehearsals for this. If you're interested, you don't necessarily need to make it to both, but it is definitely helpful. They are the two Sundays leading up to Good Friday. So that is the 24th, that's Palm Sunday, and the 17th, the week before that. Both of those are at 1 o'clock in the choir room. Anyone is welcome to do this. You don't need to be a member of the choir. And I think it's just going to be a really great thing if you're interested.
Yeah. Thank you, Tyler. This year, for the Community Good Friday service, you know, more churches will be involved in this, you know, service this year. There will be 9 pastors from the community who will play their parts in the worship service we're going to have. And also their church members will come to, you know, our church for this, you know, special service. And also, as you know, we have a 10 of rest service on the same day at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Pastor Bethany will lead that, you know, service. And especially during the Passion Week this year, on Monday, Thursday, that will be our day of prayer. The sanctuary will be open to you from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock for 12 hours. And we are welcoming you to come to the sanctuary and pray together for the world, for our denomination, and for our church, you know, together. And I heard that March 21st, we are going to host a food bank. So we will share with you more information in detail, you know, next, you know, Sunday. And also, our church members, 3 of them, they went down to, you know, Cass community in yesterday for their mission. So they had a wonderful time together. And we will show you some pictures, you know, next Sunday too. Okay, are you ready for the greeting? Okay. Why don't you stand up and go to the person you haven't met before and
you'll stay standing, please, if you're able. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Help us, Jesus, to rest in your love. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. The Father is glorified by this, that we bear much fruit and become disciples of Jesus Christ. May we who are many, though one body in Christ, grow together in Christ to be all that we are called to be, to the glory of God the Father forevermore. Please be seated.
Thank you. And the children come down, please. Oh, good morning, everybody. As we continue to wonder about the mystery of Easter and think about the faces of Easter, today we will talk about the time Jesus spent in the wilderness before he began his ministry. After those 40 days, he came back across the Jordan River to begin his ministry of miracles, healing, and telling parables.
Dear Jesus, thank you for helping the trees grow and bringing spring very early. We wonder about bringing spring very early. Oh, wait. We wonder about that. We also have some big wonderings about Jesus, his time in the wilderness, and his early ministry. Help us understanding grow in our wondering. Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, we're going to stay and listen to the bells. We'll sit in the first front pews, and I'm going to have a wondering question when we get back to the room. I wonder what day of Easter this song is about. Let's go sit down.
Thank you, Carolyn Choir. Would you please bow your head and join me in the prayer? Dear God, we give thanks to you for your steadfast love in our lives. We are gathered together this morning to give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. We thank you for continually working on our lives through the things we are experiencing so that we can be transformed into your Son's image, revealing your goodness and love. God, we Middle and First want to be remembered as a community of love so that we can share the light of Jesus on our family, our community, and the world. God, help us to grow continually as your faithful servants, living up to your call and the gospel of Jesus Christ we have in our hearts. We pray for our country that has been divided so severely. We pray for your healing and restoration of our nation. We remember the people in the Gaza Strip, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, South Sudan, Myanmar, and many other nations who are suffering from the brutality of wars. We pray for peace over those nations. We pray for your healing over their physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds. God, be with our church family members who are in challenging situations with their physical, financial, and relational issues. God, walk closely with them and show your mercy to them at this time. Help them overcome the challenges they are facing. Strengthen their faith. Let Middle and First continually participate in your work of mercy. Now we pray the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to time of offering. Would you please take out our friendship pad and let us know you are here with us this morning. And I really, really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have. And we try to let you know the mission opportunities we have at the church so that you can participate in one of the mission opportunities we have at the church continually. And ushers, would you please come forward?
Yeah.
Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be your family together. God, thank you so much calling us to join your mission together. God, we are yours. And as a token of our commitment and love for you, we give these offerings to you, Lord. God, please use them and use our lives only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from two places. First, John 15, and the other is from Romans chapter 12. John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Romans 12, verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your head again and join me in the prayer? Dear God, we are in your presence of peace and your presence of love. God, please speak to us. We will obey your will, and we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Three weeks ago, I sent an email to Pastor Rick Warren asking him to send us a special message as Millennium First was planning to do a church-wide Lenten season Bible study using his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And this was on February 12th. And here is a part of my email to Pastor Rick Warren. This Lenten season, Midland First United Methodist Church is embarking on a study of your book, The Purpose-Driven Life, together every Wednesday night. In 2005, I led the Purpose-Driven Life campaign at Detroit Korean UMC and witnessed God's special blessings in the church. I'm reaching out to inquire if you would be able to send us a short message of encouragement for our congregation as Millennium First endeavors to experience God's special blessings through this study. I waited his response for a while. Finally, I got his message. It was February 21st. Millennium First congregation, I received a letter from Reverend Yum that you are going to be studying the Purpose-Driven Life in the coming weeks. I'm so proud of you all and the dedication you are showing in your commitment to Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you will use the study to grow in your relationship with the Lord. God bless Pastor Rick. You are not surprised at all, right? It was a great encouragement for me because I heard that even though a lot of churches try to get the special, you know, message from him as they are studying his book together, not many churches have received his message. But I felt very special, and I was really, really encouraged. Yes, you know, we are studying this book, The Purpose Driven Life, and we are trying to figure out what the purpose is of God for our lives. And last Sunday, Pastor Bethany preached about the first purpose of our lives. Do you remember what that was? It was about worship. And by the way, Pastor Bethany did a wonderful job in the Ash Wednesday service this year. And those who attended the service, we could feel the presence of God among us strongly. And Pastor Bethany did a wonderful job. So let me ask you a question again. Okay, what is worship? Simply put, worship is our response to God. Let me repeat it again to you. Worship is our response to our God. Worship is more than music. Worship is way more than we are coming to the church every Sunday morning in this sanctuary. Worship is our response to God's love. The more deeply we recognize God's love, the more deeply we can give our worship to our God. Let me read a verse from Psalm 145, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made." As you know, compassion is another word in the Bible for love. So this Bible verse means the Lord is good to everyone. And also, his love is over all his creation. That is why Psalm 19, all of God's creation is praising God and worshiping God and try to make him known. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet, their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. What does that mean? Whatever God's compassion and love is, we can find worship. We can find the creation's praise for God. Amen? Amen. That is our life's first purpose. Today, we will delve into the second purpose of our lives. We were formed for God's community. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. We were formed for God's community, for God's family. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let me quote Rick Warren on this. When we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father, we become his children, other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. The family of God includes all believers in the past, the present, and the future. The last sentence means the Catholic Church. The Nicene Creed in AD 381, we can find very ancient confession about faith from there, which is, we believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. When we say one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the Catholic means we belong to one another, the people in the past, present time, and in the future. We are whole family of God together. That means we are the church of a Catholic city. So we are a Catholic church. We are not talking about the Catholic churches over there, okay? That's a totally different kind of meaning. We are family together. The people in the past, present time, in the future, we are whole family of God together. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. Yes, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we received our salvation, but that was not all. After that, God's intention for our life is God is inviting us to become a part of His family together. After our conversion, after our encounter with God's grace for our salvation, God planned for all of us to be a part of His family together. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, Jesus and the people He makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why He isn't ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is our head in our family. We belong to Him. We belong to one another. Today's scripture from John 15 reveals to us how the church family should function to live up to its call in the world. First of all, God's attention to His church family, is bearing fruit. John 15, verses 1 through 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. God wants us to grow as He is calling us to be a part of His family. God wants us to bear fruit abundantly. Jesus Christ is the true vine, and God is the vine grower, and we are branches in the true vine, and God is working on us right now to help us to bear fruit. Think about your life. Think about the things you are going through in your life. Do you see God's hands there to help you to grow more, to bear more fruit in your life? The Bible clearly speaks to us. God is working on us right now so that we can bear more fruit in our lives. And what should our responses be to that special touch of God in our lives? That is why we have Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Let us read this scripture together. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruit. What kind of a fruit are you bearing right now? It's bad fruit? What are the fruits God wants you to have? And how big are the fruits you have? Are they ready to be harvested? Think about the fruit you have in your life. Then what is the fruit? The fruit in today's passage symbolizes the qualities, actions, and lives that result from abiding in Jesus Christ. The fruit also represent the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Do you see here love? The enlarged, you know, word there in red, love. There are scholars who believe that joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are kinds of different kinds of colors of love. That is why we have the singular noun, not plural, fruit, love. It means, yes, God is working on us for our love. To love God more. To love the people around me more. That is the meaning of the fruit we are supposed to bear in our lives. Secondly, the church family must abide in Jesus Christ. Why? From today's scripture, that is the way we can glorify God. Become Jesus Christ's disciples together. Have Jesus Christ's complete joy in us. And carry out God's mission in the world. By having this fruit, by abiding in Jesus Christ, we can have a complete joy of Jesus Christ in us. We can carry out our missions, and we can glorify God's name. And then we can become real, genuine disciples of Jesus Christ together. That is why. Then what does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? Abiding in Jesus Christ means obeying Jesus Christ's word, obeying Jesus Christ's commands, following the steps of Jesus Christ. John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. From time to time, people come to me and ask me, John, I do not understand. Sometimes I try hard to pray to God, but God does not answer my prayer. Why? I think there are several reasons why our prayers are not answered by God. First of all, if our prayers are not aligned with God's plan, then our prayers cannot be answered by God. And also, if we are not in God's timing, then it's not easy for us to have an answer from God. And also, when we pray, if we do not believe in God's answer, lacking in our faith, then we're not supposed to expect to have an answer from God. And also, if there is any sins that we have to be resolved, we have to be forgiven by God, we have to work on that first. By doing so, we can have God's answer to our prayer. And also, if we are continually holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, then we're not supposed to expect to have answers from God for our prayers. And also, if we have wrong motives for our prayer, as James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That is one of the reasons why we cannot have answer from God for our prayers. And last but not least, there will be time God is testing us to see how we respond to our delayed prayers. By doing so, God can grow us in that kind of situations. Then God will use our, you know, his delay of his, you know, answer to our prayer for the purpose of our benefit. Those are the cases that our prayers cannot be answered by God. But when we are saturated with the word of God in our hearts, and then our prayer is in line with God's purpose and plan, then God can answer our prayers. Abiding in Jesus Christ means abiding in Jesus Christ's word. And also, abiding in Jesus Christ means abiding in Jesus Christ's love. John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Do you see how much God cares for you in your life? Even though you have to go through difficult times, even though you are experiencing the things you really don't want to have, you know, experience, but still, God's love is there. Do you see that? Yes. Because the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That is what Jesus Christ is doing right now in our lives. If you ask me, John, do you see the God's special abundant blessings in your life? Yes! Every day. Even though I have to deal with the things I don't want to deal with, but still, God is there, right there in my life through a lot of God's people. It must be the same with you. Please abide in Jesus' love. Let me quote Reverend Rick Warren again about this. Life is all about love. Because God is love, the most important lesson he wants you to learn on earth is how to love. It is in loving that we are most like him. So love is the foundation of every command he has given us. The whole law can be summed up in this one command: love others as you love yourself. When you transfer into eternity, you will leave everything else behind. All you are taking with you is your character. That's why the Bible says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Last but not least, by abiding in Jesus Christ, we can be one body in Christ. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Can you say to the person sitting next to you that we are family together and we need you? Just talk to the person sitting next to you. We are family together and we need you. Yeah. I could see some couples who do not say anything to their spouses. I'm very much concerned about that. Yes, we are family together, and we need one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the New Testament, we can find the scriptures commanding unity of the church a lot. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Even Jesus Christ prayed for the unity of his church in his prayer in John 17. That prayer is called High Priest Prayer. This is what he prayed about. My prayer is not for them alone, which means they're his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This prayer is so important because Jesus Christ was praying for us. He was praying for the unity of the church. Why? Because there will be always times that the churches will face challenges not being unified together. We have to admit that. But at the same time, we have to believe in that this prayer will be answered by God continually. Because this is the prayer our high priest, Jesus Christ, prayed to God. He prayed for the unity of the church. And then remember the last sentence in the prayer. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. For the world to believe God sent his son Jesus Christ to the world, we have to be unified. That is our mission. Mission is not just going outside to do something for the people who are in need. That is mission too. Also at the same time, if we can be unified in Jesus Christ, people know that God sent his son Jesus Christ to the world. Can you say amen to that? Amen. 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 What is the biblical recipe for unity of the church? When we are in the Holy Spirit together, we can experience the unifying power of the church together. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God's Word. What is the main theme of God's Word? It's His love for us, for the world. And also the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the prayer, of prayer. So when we read the book of Acts, we can find wherever Jesus Christ's disciples were, they got together intentionally and they prayed together fervently. That reveals the unity of the church in the Holy Spirit. We're going to offer continually the occasions that we can get together to pray together. When we are in unity in prayer, people out there, we know that we are from God and Jesus Christ was sent by God for them. When our intimacy with God can be reflected in our relationship with others, we can experience the power of unity at the church. As you know, Christian marriage is not a union of two persons, husband and wife. It is a union of three, husband, wife, and God. The unity of a family can be achieved by inviting the Holy Spirit to rule over our family. Do you see the room for the Holy Spirit to rule over you? Rule over your family? Rule over your relationship with your spouses and your children? In our relationship with our spouses and children, Jesus Christ has to be ushered in as the leader of our family. Then we can find and experience the unity of our family. God exists, always exists, as the unifying community of the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God Himself exists in community of unity. Wherever God is working and showing His presence, we can always find the unifying power of God there. Please remember, God's focus on God's family is bearing fruit. What is the fruit? Love. God is working on your love. The quality of your love, the dimension of your love, your understanding of God's love and your understanding of your love for the neighbor. And we have to abide in Jesus Christ continually, which means we have to abide, we have to obey Jesus Christ's words. And also we have to abide in Jesus Christ's love. By doing so, we can be unified. And the people around us know that we are from God and Jesus Christ was sent to the world by God for them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite all of you to this communion table. Those who understand God's love in their lives, those who want to stay and abide in Jesus Christ's love and His commands. The table is open to all of you. Please, those who are assisting in the communion, please come forward. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are yours, and also we need one another as your family. As we are joining this communion together, we remember who we are and also the love you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, please bless the communion we're going to have today. Bless the bread we are going to take together. Bless the cup we are going to drink from together. And help us to remember who we are as your family. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On the night when Jesus Christ gave up himself for his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As we are joining the communion together, we have to remember how much and deeply God has loved us. By doing so, God wants us to go out and show his love to the people in our neighborhood. Let us remember that. I'd like to invite you to have a time of prayer briefly. If there is anything that you have to confess to God before you join this communion today with your family, now is the time you bow your head and pray to God and for his forgiveness, okay? Let us pray together. God, you know everything in our lives. God, would you please forgive us the impurities we have in our hearts? God, would you please restore our relationship with the people we have built up the broken relationship? God, please cleanse our heart, restore our relationship, and allow us to join this communion together with our church family. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The table is open to you. Please come and join the party with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have two communion stations. The bread we are offering today is gluten-free, so you can join any, you know, station, you know, today. Please come forward. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for abiding in us. Help us to be abiding in you and also abiding in one another. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you power and strength so that you can continually abide in Jesus Christ. Now, go in peace. Amen.